All right, everybody, jump start, so come on in. If you have a child and you don't see them sitting right next to you, please find them, all right? That would help me out. Okay, so look for your kids and go find mom and dad. Kids, if you're not with them, I'd appreciate that. But it's good to have you tonight, so come on in, grab a seat. We'll get started. Live streamers, good to have you also. I know it's hot outside. It's pretty decent in here. We made it, I think, so it's good to have you tonight. A couple quick things. Don't forget, this Sunday, VBS starts. 6 o'clock right here, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Okay, so our big kids event of the year is happening. Heroes of the Faith. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time talking about David and Goliath. We'll talk about Queen Esther. And then, of course, the greatest hero of all, and that's Jesus. That'll be on Tuesday night. So make sure you invite your kids, grandkids, neighbor kids, everybody you know that's got kids, send them on out. It's potty trained, 4 years old, roughly through fifth grade. So that's, again, starts Sunday night at 6 o'clock. By the way, kind of a first-time announcement here. We have our yearly church picnic on July the 14th. At the Urbana Park, okay? Again, it's a bring a dish to share kind of thing. We'll provide the fried chicken, all right? So make plans to be with us that day. It'll be a good time, as you know. So I hope to see you all there. But other than that, how about we stand up on our feet? I got a couple more VBS announcements to tell you about later, but let's get into worship tonight. Let's stand up together, and let's worship Jesus together.
Your body and your blood. This is how I find my That's next Wednesday with Mr. Eric.
Mr. Eric.
You did good, though. All right. Well, good to have you tonight. Get everybody checked in at Kids Church. They'll get checked in at Kids Church and get everything together. It is good to have you tonight. So you have a giving tonight, tithe and offering, and you want to prep that, go ahead. Offering envelopes in the chairs in front of you. If you have a teenager that's staying up here, please have them be sitting with you. I'd appreciate that. That would help me. All right. They're giving out cards. Make sure all the adults in the room have one of the cards, okay? We'll put those to use in a little bit here. So let me pray over your tithe and offering. If you have something, you can bring it down to the basket. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come to the house, to be in your presence tonight, to worship you. And I pray our time of fellowship afterward is pleasing to you. But as we give tonight, we're honoring you with the increase of what comes into our lives, Lord, that you are the great provider. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Amen. Bring it on down if you have it. A couple extra little things about VBS. First of all, if you are donating any food items for the VBS, they have to be here by Friday. And I know it's not like a church day, but in other words, Amanda, get a hold of Amanda. If you are donating anything food-wise for the VBS that's not here, please talk to Amanda tonight so she knows what's happening and how you can get it here. But they need it before Sunday because they got to prep stuff for the VBS. And they're not going to be able to have time to do it that day. So please make sure Amanda has it, all right? Also, anybody wants to help with the registration at the start of VBS, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I think they need a couple more people for that. Also see Amanda. And one thing for the kids, there's a game each night that goes with the lesson. There's a slight possibility they may get a little wet during that time. So just so you know that, it's okay. It'll be hot out. But just so you're aware of that, as a parent, there is some water. I know like the first night, I think there's a dunk tank and goes along with the lesson, some things. So anyhow, not that they're going to be in it, but yet just aware that there's water involved in some of the games, okay? So you're aware of that. All right, having said that, get your Bibles out. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. When you get to Matthew chapter 5, kind of put your finger there. We'll come back to it in a few moments here. We started last week a series entitled Taming Your Time. And what I have discovered is that people are struggling with simply being over busy in a very busy world. And the thing is this, does God care about how you spend your time? And the short answer is yes. Okay, he does. You are given time by him. As a matter of fact, everybody's got the same amount of seconds, hours, days of the week, days of the month, months of the year. We all get the same time. Now, we don't all live to the exact same moment in life, but yet we're all afforded time that we can do something with. And what we're finding is, in American society, that we are just simply over busy. And what happens when people are over busy? That brings stress. It brings anxiety. It brings worry, okay? So what I'm trying to do in this series, we started last week, today, and the next couple of weeks, is we're trying to give you some principles about having, bringing stewardship to your time. Now, to me, I don't want to use the word manage your time. I want to use the word stewardship. Do you realize that everything that God has given you in life, you must be a good steward of? Right? To steward something means to have care of it, take care. To treat it in a way that's not just respectful, but to do what's right with it. I don't care if you're talking about your relationships. I don't care if you're talking about money. It doesn't matter. We are to be good stewards of what God has given us. And here you are tonight. You're breathing and you're alive. You're surviving this ridiculous heat outside. Start praying for fall. Amen. Oh. Well, I'm praying for it. I know he hears me, so that's just the way that works. But here, you're alive, and you have life to live, so what are you doing with the time that you have? So that's what we're talking about. Now, the reason you have that postcard, if you were here last week, if you brought your postcard from last week back, we have a little activity that goes with each time over this series. Last week, we talked about identifying the responsibilities that you have in life that you're going to give an account for. Everybody has responsibilities in life that you're going to give an account for. Okay? We went to the parable of the talents, and to one got five, another two, another got one. And what they did with what they were given means everything. So in other words, we all have different things we've been given in life. There's not many of us that are just the same, but yet, what are you doing with what you've been given? But I needed you to differentiate between what you're going to give an account for and things you have in life that you're not going to give an account for, because what it means is it creates a priority responsibility list, if that makes sense. So it kind of like this. I'll just use myself as an example. It's really simple. Y'all know I'm married. My wife is a responsibility in my life. And scripturally, I'm going to give an account for how I am in that relationship. Right? Now, I'll be honest with you. I didn't have to get married. But I wanted to. If you don't want to get married, amen to you all the more. Paul says that means you get more time to the ministry. That's what he writes in 1 Corinthians 11. But by the way, I think, here's the thing. I've come across people that want to do so much in life, but yet they're married and have kids, but they want to do so much. It starts with your spouse, because you didn't have to get married. But once you're married, that's a responsibility of your life that you're going to give an account to God for. You didn't have to have kids, did you? Huh? Not one of you were forced to have kids. But if you have kids, now you got a responsibility that you're going to give an account to God for how you were in that relationship. Does that make, right? Is that true? The Bible also talks about how we are when we work. We do everything as unto the Lord. So if you got a job, you don't have to have a job. You say, yeah, I do. Well, you do, but you don't. But since you got one, You have to do it as unto the Lord. You're going to give an account for how you go about the business of your life that way. Okay? So you have to think, what are the responsibilities I have in life that I'm going to give an account for? Now, you have responsibilities in your life that you may not have to give an account for. So you have to differentiate between what did God put in my hand and what did I put in my hand. You see what I'm getting at? And when you're able to differentiate those two different things, then you'll know the biggest priorities of your life are what God put in your hand. So I gave the example last week. So I coached athletics, both rec athletics and high school athletics for, my gosh, probably near 20 years. Here's the thing. I did not have to coach. It's something that, listen to me, God didn't tell me to. I didn't go into a season of fasting and praying whether or not I should coach. I was like, sure. I play sports. My kids are involved. I'll do it. But know something. I put that in my hand. God did not. Does that make sense? That, although I need to do it well, and yes, there's an account for how I am in that setting, that I put in my hand should never supersede what God put in my hand. Should never be in front of my wife, my kids, my job, or my calling, which is to be a pastor. You see what I'm getting at? You have to differentiate. One time, as a matter of fact, let me tell you a story. Everybody knows I bow hunt, right? How many of you know that? Do you realize in all the years I bow hunted, I'd owned three different bows. You want to know something? Never once have I bought a bow. In every case, somebody says, the Lord told me to bless you, and they take me. I'm just like, no, but they buy it for me. Now, what I tell her is, you understand that the Lord is telling me to go hunting, all right? That's what I tell her, right? Hunting is something I do. It's a recreation. It's a hobby. I don't have to do that. It is something I do that I put in my hand. God did not tell me to go hunting. He blessed me with some stuff, but he didn't say, if you don't go hunting, you're going to be judged. He didn't say that. What I put in my hand, hunting, should never come in front of my wife, my kids, my job, or my calling as a pastor. See, I'm getting at. And here's the thing about, you realize that there's always one more good thing you can do. You know that. Not everything that you shouldn't be doing is a bad thing. Sometimes it's good stuff. But you've got to learn what your priorities are. So I could treat ministry, and I've read about guys that their ministry caused them to lose their family. But yet they're out there preaching and winning. So listen to me. I could do one more good thing if I wanted to, but it should never be at the expense of my spouse or my kids or my job or my calling. You see what I'm getting at? There's a lot. I could find something every day that's good, but it should never be at the expense of my priorities that I will be held account for or my health or rhythm of rest, which we'll talk about next week. You see, I'm getting at. So, if you weren't here last week, at the end, before we write down the next things tonight, I need you to write down what you consider your responsibilities that you're going to give an account for. Okay? Because what we're going to do tonight is we're going to contrast some things. And let's start in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 37. It says this. And this isn't a big picture thing. Jesus is frying some bigger fish right here with this, and I'm going to say here, but yet it flows within it. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more comes than this comes from evil, or some translations come from the evil one. In other words, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And you must learn to guide your life by letting your yes be yes in wisdom and letting your no be no in wisdom. In other words, here's the key. Watch this. If you want to learn how to tame your time, you have to learn when it's wise to say yes and learn when it's wise to say no, and then let your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, you've got to learn boundaries in your life. Learn boundaries. Listen to me. You don't have to do everything. And neither do your kids. You should shout a hallelujah, amen right there. Ladies, and maybe some of you guys, but ladies, how many of you ever skated around on Pinterest before? You know what Pinterest is? You go there and there's a gazillion ideas of things you can do, crafts you can make, things you can bake, all these different things to make you a Pinterest mom. You don't have to be a Pinterest mom. You don't have to. You know, the latest thing is everybody's making sourdough bread. Got to create the culture and let it grow. Okay, look, nothing wrong with it. You make it, bring something to me. I like it. But listen to me. You don't have to make sourdough. You can say, no, I don't have time. You see what I'm getting at? Guys, you don't have to coach every little league team that your kid plays on. I coach sports, but I didn't do it year-round. You don't have to do every opportunity that comes your way, even if it's not a bad idea. You don't, oh my goodness, I'm going to say this. Maybe I should whisper it. You don't have to do everything at church either. Oh, I know, shocking. Know that. Don't have to. You're not pressured to volunteer here. You can, great. If you can't, for what? Okay. You're not. It's not like, okay, if so-and-so is not volunteering, I'm going to give you 3 months to find your spot or you're kicked out. Never been said by me. We need you to volunteer, but it's not like you're less of a person or Christian or part of this church if you don't. Some of you got to learn the word no. You know, sometimes my phone will light up after I'm in bed. I don't turn it up. It'll light up with text or sometimes a phone call. You know how often I don't look at it? It'll be there in the morning. Mm-hmm. It's an emergency. It'll still be one in the morning. I don't always look because I have to put boundaries in. I have to say no. Did you realize I would get calls at all hours of the day? I get them during the night. For my sanity and my rest, sometimes I say no. You see what I'm getting at? I will never say no to my responsibility list. My wife, my kids, to certain aspects of my job and certain aspects of pastoring. But I will say no to all sorts of other stuff. Because I learned to tame my time. You see what I'm getting at? So, again, you have to realize that, yes, there's lots of stuff you can do, but you don't have to do everything. And, by the way, one of the biggest eaters of time of all in our society is this puppy right here. Everybody know what this is, right? So, when I asked you last week to think about your priority list, then over the last week, think about what you actually do with your day. I hope you did it, because it will start to let you know my intention is my responsibility list, but how do I really spend my time? This thing, by the way, if you want, your phone will tell you how much time you spend on here. This thing can be brutally honest. And often will tell you what you don't want to hear. There ain't no way I was on here for 4 hours and 10 minutes today. This thing is not lying to you. You were on there for 4 hours and 10 minutes. Well, you know, I was Oh, yeah, I know you were, but that's 4 hours and 10 minutes. Holy smokes. You see what I'm getting at? You've got to learn to be responsible and be stewards of not only the things that I do, but then things I learn to curb. So there are things that you must cut out of your life, and there are things that you've got to curb in your life in order to learn how to manage your time. So it's not like, well, you can never get on the phone, but maybe you should limit it to a certain amount every day. Start to curb it. You know something? This thing's starting to become such a problem. I'm seeing small group curriculum written on how to control your phone. It's amazing. It has to be out there because people just can't live without their face being in this thing all day long. It's crazy. All of this involves discipline. See that? Discipline. That when I begin to identify things that are taking up my time that simply don't need to be there, when it's taken away from my responsibilities, I've got to learn to cut them out, or I've got to learn to curb them. But it's not going to happen unless you discipline yourself. Now, does that mean that you can't ever do something that's not directly at your responsibility? Well, no, I'm not saying that at all. I will guarantee, promise you, mark it down, write in a book, it's a fact, I will watch some football this fall. That has nothing to do with my responsibility, my wife, my kids, my job. My job is a pastor, pastoring. But it can get out of control because the NFL is on like every single day of the week. There's a ball game on all the time. You see what I'm getting at? There's nothing wrong with watching some games, but when it starts to hinder responsibility, then it's a problem. There's nothing wrong with your phone unless you're on it so much it hinders responsibility, then it's a problem. If you're married, if you want to ask some honest questions, do you think I don't spend enough time with you? See what they say. Don't fight, but just listen to the answer. You see what I mean? Hobbies, again, the things I like to do, you know, whether it's hiking or going out in the woods, bow hunting, I do it as much as Margo doesn't care. She doesn't rule my life, but I don't want to do things that cause her to be upset or feel neglected. When my kids were little, I bow hunted maybe once a week, maybe. My kids got a little older where they weren't a complete responsibility to take care of, I hunt a little more. Now that all my kids are out living life, I'll hunt as much as she lets me. It's more, but see, you have to understand how you spend your time will change and be different through the stages of your life, too. See, I'm getting at. So when I know I got a wife and my kids are grown, but I'm still a dad, we bought a house that we built, and we own 3 acres. You don't mow a yard in 3 acres in 15 minutes. I wish. Buy a bunch of goats. I don't know. But then the house needs to look nice. The landscaping, and you don't let it go in disrepair. The other day I was out with a power sprayer, praying that whatever that green stuff in it gets on your siding. It's a responsibility to be good steward that I'm blessed with a house and property. Well, I could get so wrapped up in doing other stuff that what I own turns into disrepair and neglect. Responsibilities of life. So we got to be people to learn how to cut out and curb what needs cut out and what needs curbed in order to take care of the things that are necessary in life. And again, it comes down to discipline. So you must learn to say no, and you also have to learn how to say no to yourself. So I'll give you an example. So if you're a bow hunter, you know that November, early November to mid-November is what they call the rut. Best time to go hunting, right? Come November, I'm just like, every day I'd like to go to the woods. Every day, right? I even take a week of vacation during that time so I could go hunting. I want the entire month of November, I would, if she wouldn't care, I would go to the woods every day. But I just know that's just not feasible to live life the way I have. Maybe guys can do that, but I can't. I can't say, hey, church, I'm not going to be here for the whole month of November. I'm going hunting. You guys would be like, well, that's nice. You wouldn't appreciate it. I get to go on vacation, but not things like that. You see what I'm saying? You learn to say no to yourself as much as you say no to other things. Learn to say no to your phone. Put it away. Turn it off. Be without it. You see, I'm getting at. So what you have to do is this. When you have a list of, you didn't write anything, let me grab this. Oh, you did, I'm sorry. You have your list of responsibilities. What I want you to do when we're done is, I think you're aware of the things in your life that take too much time. And what I want you to do is, I want you to write those things down. Then I want you to pray that the Lord in wisdom helps you to be a better steward of your time. Okay? Because until you do those things, nothing will ever change. So what's going to happen is next week, we're going to talk about your time with the Lord. And you're going to talk about your rhythm of rest, or if you don't have any. Because when you got, here's my responsibilities I'm accountable for. Here's the things that I need to cut and curb in my life. But also, there's got to be time with the Lord in there. There's got to be rhythm of rest in there. We've got to put life together. Because what happens is, some of you don't spend time with the Lord because you got things in your life that need cut out that are taking your time. Some of you don't ever take time to rest because you're doing too much in your life. Let me show you that. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse 6. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can't take anything out of it. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pangs. All right, so contentment is simply a sense of peace and satisfaction in the place that you have in your life right now. Now, it does not mean you can't dream and have goals and have plans. It does not mean there's seasons of life where you work hard, more time to establish businesses or things like this. But yet, you will never learn how to tame your time unless you learn how to be content. Because, again, there's always one more good thing to do. There's always one more project to do, too. There's always more hours you can work to make money. There's always something more to do. But when you learn how to be content, that I can be peaceful and satisfied with my current situation, it makes you have the ability to say no. No. On this Saturday, I don't have to work. I can go back to work on Monday and learn how to rest. Now again, there's seasons of life, or maybe you're farming, or I understand you have to work to steward. But the point is, if you're never finding time to rest, I would say probably you're not very content in your heart. You see? The rhythm of time with God and a rhythm of rest is vitally important for your spiritual health, your mental health, and your physical health. So what happens with me is I know, and I don't realize it until I'm into it a little bit, I know when I'm not getting enough actual rest because I start to become protective in thinking about my schedule. It goes like this. In my mind, I'm thinking, is there anything going on this Saturday? My gosh, I hope not, because I don't want to do anything. And I know when I think that, already I'm at the place where I have not had enough rest. And I've gotten out of the rhythm of rest in my life. When I start to become protective of thinking about that. My gosh, I hope there's not a church event. My gosh, please let nobody die this week for a funeral. I need a rest day, you know? Help me, Lord. Again, if you're not content, and that contentment bleeds into a lot of different areas, but if you're not content, then you can't say no, because you always got to be doing something. Even if you think it's good, it may not be good for you. You see what I'm getting at? So here's what I want you to do. Take time right now, and I want you to write down things in your mind that you know need curbed in your life or maybe cut out of your life when it comes to being a good steward of your time. And this is very, especially, not all of you feel like you're over busy, but if you feel like you're over busy, okay, if you feel like you're over busy, this is vitally important for you. And while you're doing that, let me just say this. Mark and I have lived a busy life. There's no question about it. You're hearing a lot of stuff out there. Oh, travel sports is just ruining families and wrecking kids. Ah. My kids all played travel sports. Didn't wreck my family, but I just didn't let them play every sports season. Ah, they go to a public school. All the stuff they do is just going to ruin them. Oh, my kids went to public school. You're fine. It's how you manage the situations. Those things can be detrimental, but it's how you manage it. They're not evil in and of themselves. You've got to stop the stuff. Well, if you spend any time watching a ball game, that's just wrong. No, it's how you manage it. You shouldn't ever watch Netflix. Well, if it's bad, you shouldn't, but it's okay to watch a series as long as it's not against the word, but just manage it. Don't get sucked up in just, you know, binge watching all the time. You see what I'm getting at? Learn how to manage things in life. Okay, does that make sense? So what needs cut out? What needs curbed in your life? Write them down. Give me a second. And what I want you to do is I want you to take this with you. I want you to think about it over the next week. Bring it back and adjust this list as you go through the week. Okay? Then prayerfully take these things to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to help me in wisdom manage this, be a good steward of this. All right? And I believe he will. Next week, the subject next week of spending time with the Lord in the rhythm of rest, those are the telltale signs of whether or not you got good stewardship of your time. They're the telltale signs. Okay? And we'll talk about that next week. All right, we'll end up there. Let me pray. We do afterwards tonight. I think they're getting a fire going. We're going to have some hot dogs and s'mores outside. Spend a little time fellowshipping. All right? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to come together and just be with you and spend time with you, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we're not people who are stressed, overburdened, anxious. But part of that, Lord, is to know that we have good rhythm of life in your wisdom. I pray that you help us do that. Keep in good stewardship of the time we've been given. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we all stay. Amen. All righty. You head outside if you're late. If you don't stay, we'll see you Sunday morning. Be blessed.